we haven't quite seen yet. This is going to be kind of back to basic stuff for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's always good to start a year off with some grassroots stuff and refresh and remind us of the things that we should know but often forget or don't know. And one of the things that I was praying about, this is kind of back in November, was, Lord, what do you want to say? And he gave me a word, and the word was unlimited, or limitless, unlimited, limitless. And I began to seek God regarding what that word meant for myself and meant for the church. And for a little season of my life there, I struggled with this, because what I was getting was that God wants us to take all the restrictions off what he can do. Did you hear that? We're living in a very difficult world right now, and the world is broken, and the church is broken to a certain degree as well. And I repented through the first couple of weeks of December on behalf of myself and the church regarding, Lord, if we have put restrictions on what God can do, forgive us for that. I don't want to be part of a church where God is limited. And we're living in a world right now where the church is diluting, it's compromising, it's become lukewarm regarding the greatness of God. Still one of these old school people that believe God is great. Still believe that God can do anything that he wants to do. So this little series we're going to go on is really about us taking the restrictions off of God. It's letting God loose out the box to do what he wants to do with us and with our church. Now, I want to warn you, if you buy into this, this can have consequences for us. Big consequences. See, the world is trying to silence the church. The government is trying to eradicate the name of Jesus and to remove it. And I believe what God is saying to us today, and part of our vision for this year, is sing a little louder. Raise a hallelujah. Let people know that we will not tolerate what's happening in our world. We will not compromise what is so-called the values of this world, be it education, be it government, be it finances, be it what it is. We will raise a hallelujah. We will mention the name of Jesus. He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's all rolled into one. He's good. He's a big God. But if you buy into this, and you're a minister and a leader, you're going to have some issues as we move forward, as we roll forward. But if you're up for that, and you want to buy into that, then God will bless it. And God will use it. So we are going to talk today a little bit about unlimited or limitless faith. How many of you think you've got a big faith? God, we need a bigger faith, don't we? I want to share one scripture to lay a foundation. And we'll get in. We won't be long with these sermons, and some will say hallelujah to that and praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thanks, Pastor. Always encouraging. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you are living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with as great affection. Open up your lives. I believe this is the word of the Lord. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. What a beautiful word. I want to speak to you about the limitless power of your faith. Your faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17 and see how Jesus addresses a lack of faith. Then we'll roll on from there. When they came to the crowd, it's Matthew 17, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him, as we will do much of this year. Lord, have mercy on my son, he says. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought this boy to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Amen. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy. Hallelujah. And he was healed in that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus and they came privately as you would and asked, why couldn't we drive out the demon? Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. You have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing shall be impossible for you. Amen. Praise God. The little backdrop here, we won't be long with the backdrop, we want to get into the good stuff. Jesus and the disciples had been in the region of Caesarea Philippi for 6 days when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain for themselves, by themselves, and was transfigured before them. In verses 9 through 13 of this same chapter, tells them as they were walking down the mountain, Jesus instructs Peter, James, and John not to speak about this event until after his resurrection, and then clarifies that John the Baptist was the returning Elijah, which preceded the Messiah, but the world did not see him, or the world did not recognize him. And it is at this point in our story that they return to the crowds and the other disciples. The Bible tells us immediately a dad desperate for a healing. Has anyone ever been really desperate for a healing? Praise God. It will come your way. Immediately a dad desperate for a healing for his demon-possessed son approaches Jesus and falls to his knees as we must do, pleading with Jesus to cast out the demon because it seems that the disciples were unable to do so. Scripture tells us that Jesus became frustrated with the people and he calls them a faithless and twisted generation, which is a direct reference to the song of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 20. Jesus was speaking these words. Jesus was saying these things because the Hebrews, as God's people, God's chosen people, and have seen him time and time again, seen his miracles more times than any other people group in the entire world, yet his chosen people, his elect, still doubt, or worse, turn to the world, and even worse, to idolatry. Furthermore, look at the word of God again. The other disciples that had not gone with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, who had also been with Jesus throughout his ministry, who is God in the flesh, and that's how he operates, and witnessed firsthand his miraculous signs, yet they still did not have enough faith to cast out the demon. God have mercy. And it is at this point in our story that Jesus speaks and casts out the demon in the boy immediately. Immediately. Scripture says the crowds no doubt rejoiced and were quick to do so. But later, the disciples took Jesus away and asked privately, Jesus, why could we not cast out the demon? And Jesus here states that it is because of a lack, because of their little faith. And if only if they had a little amount of faith like the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, only there, nothing would be impossible for them. So here we are at the start of a brand new year, expecting great things from God, anticipating a move of God in our land, looking for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. I'm excited and I'm looking forward. But the question this raised for me in this topic matter of unlimited faith, how much faith do I have? What does my faith actually look like? how much faith do you have for the year ahead? We know that faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Listen to this. Do we believe? Do we really believe that the things you are hoping for, believing for, are really going to happen? Really going to happen? Moreover, do anyone amongst us firmly hold to the truth that they will happen even if we do not see the desired outcome? It's a test of faith. You see, while putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is by far the most important decision that any man, woman, or child will ever make, being saved is the beginning of the new birth, of the new life in Christ Jesus. And I trust that everyone has made that commitment to follow Jesus, and you're following Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But listen to this. That in itself is not intended. It was never, salvation was never intended to be the limit of your faith. The limit of your faith, no more than the birth of a child, is intended to be the life, the limit of some, for some people in their entire life. Rather, being saved is the beginning. Are you hearing this? Being saved is the beginning of a lifelong journey, which should then include a deep trust and a very intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. And I love that with all my heart. And I don't know, I don't pretend to know where you are in your life's journey with Jesus Christ right now. I do know some of you well enough. And the moment you walk through that door on a Sunday morning, I know by how your face looks where you are. I can read that and read that well at different times. But maybe you're here today and maybe you've heard, and I hope you have, maybe you've heard about the mighty things the Lord has done for others, and yet right now you're not walking in the victory. Or you're not feeling the victory in Christ Jesus. Or perhaps you've seen God move in your life or the life of other people many times before. But now you actually have found yourself in a season of great need. You're here today. And while you love and trust the Lord, perhaps you're in here at the start of the year and you're struggling with doubt that God is moving. And that God is moving in your life or will move in the particular situation and may even start right now. Perhaps you've started accepting that what you are praying for will not actually come to pass. It will not happen for you. Or perhaps maybe you're at the place where the work set before you seems far too great, and already 6 or 7 days in, 8 days into this year, you're already feeling stressed. You're already feeling overwhelmed with what has been presented to you. I'm watching myself that I don't sound condemning today, and I don't mean to be. But like it or not, brothers, these feelings and all these feelings I've mentioned, they stem directly from a lack of faith. And I say, I'm not here, I've not come down here, I've not come to make you feel good either. But I've not come down to condemn you, because the truth is, listen to this, let me qualify this. The truth is, there will come a point in the life of every single believer when it becomes difficult to hold on to the things that we believe for, when we're not seeing movement or we're not seeing progress for some extended period of time. There'll come a sense of doubt. There'll come a sense at different times of unbelief. And this, coupled with the fact that when we ask the Lord for things, we're always going to get one of three answers, aren't we? And we know what they are. Yes, no, or wait. It's the strategy of the Lord. Yes, no, or wait. And these three answers can actually make it a challenge to hold on to what we hope for if we focus on the situation instead of focusing directly on the limitless power of God. And that's where I want to encourage us to shift to, away from looking at us, looking at the problem and looking at him and what he can do with the situation that we find ourselves in today. Listen to this, church. We can see in scriptures today that the dad of the possessed child has dealt with this boy's suffering for many, many years, it seems like. And we can only begin to imagine the pain he must have felt as he saw his beloved child, his wee boy, suffer, especially in the times when he fell into the fire or he fell into the water. And this dad, who has been hoping, I just hope every day. Hope every day. This dad who has been hoping and he has been praying, that has got to be part of our makeup for this year. Hoping and praying, waiting and praying, seeking and praying. It has to be part of the model that our church presents to the people of this fellowship. So this dad has been hoping and praying, and he finally hears of the man of God who heals blind eyes and performs many miracles. He hears about him. He's on the move. Yet when he brings his child to his disciples, they cannot heal his son. Wow. And while the Bible doesn't say this, we can only imagine that there must have been some point where this father, this dad, felt completely defeated and felt like giving up on hope for this situation. Have you ever been there? Fortunately, hallelujah, he cut through the people, even cut through those closest to Jesus, and he got to the man. That's the encouragement. That's the encouragement. Listen, we need to get to Jesus. He is the answer. He is the solver. He has everything that we need in this world. We have to get to Jesus. Unfortunately, in this situation, he found Jesus. And what happened in a moment with just a word, the son was miraculously set free. Chains off. Set free. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad this morning when the whole world seems to be in chaos, when society seems to be confused, when the world seems to be in the worst mess it's ever been in? Aren't you glad when nothing or no one can fix the problem, that still you and I can go to the man called Jesus, and not only that he hears, but he helps, he fixes, he aids. He turns things on their head. He turns things right round for his glory and for the good. That's the Lord Jesus whom we serve. So here's the life lesson in all of this today. The key first and foremost. Now hear this today. We must make sure that everything that we ask for, everything that we hope for, aligns itself with the Word of God. Are you hearing this? It must line up with Scripture. Just as in today's example, the dad is hoping for the healing of a child. Then next key, we are to pray. We are to pray that the Lord's will be done and have peace, knowing that he hears everything we say, while at the same time, this is good news, the same time, we cannot give up. We must be persistent. We must press through. We can't expect anyone else to pray our prayer for us. We have to pray that prayer for ourselves. We have to press in to see what God is about and what God is going to do. So we have to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. We have to pray and seek the face of God. The dad in this narrative did not give up. Even when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, he did not give up. What did he do? He waited on the Lord. And he cast his cares directly at the feet of Jesus. And it was his, it was the Father's, it was the Dad's persistent faith that Jesus could heal his son when no one could. And this was recognized, and then it was blessed by the touch of the Lord. Sometimes if you want more, you have to get desperate. Sometimes you have to push in a little bit further than others are prepared to do. You have to step out the boat at different times and go for it. And God will grant what you desire and he will bless what you ask. So listen to this. When we hope for things, when we hope for things that align with God's word, and then we are persistent in our prayer, having confidence and peace that Jesus hears us, then listen to what I'm going to say. I will assure you, I can assure you that God will do for you what you and I cannot do for ourselves. He will step in and do it for us on our behalf. Jesus tells us this very thing in John 14 verses 12 through 14. Truly, truly, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Glory to God. And greater works, hallelujah, than these will he do. Because I am now going to the Father. Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name. Are you hearing that? Whatever you ask in my name. You're not going to get it if you ask it in my name. It's not going to work out for you so well. This I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Listen to this. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and he dwells inside of us. Hallelujah. I love the Holy Spirit. I mean, I really love the Holy Spirit. I love what he does in me. And one of the primary purposes of the indwelling of the Spirit is actually to make you and I much more like Jesus, or make us Christ-like, and also to equip us to continue his work until his return. Therefore, listen to this, dearly beloved, the things we should be asking, the things we should be asking should be Christ-like. Are you hearing this? In this generation, in these end time days, in these days, the things we should be asking should be Christ-like, meaning it lines up directly with God's will and God's purposes and God's plan for his church. I will say this to you. I might have this wrong. I'm not sure. It would be entirely... Yes, Father. It would be entirely inappropriate to ask the Lord for things that are not biblical. Oh, you're not sure? It would be entirely inappropriate, so I'll say it again, for us to ask the Lord things in these days that are not biblical and then expect to get a yes answer for our prayers. I will tell you in the here and now, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. For example, the Lord is our source for everything that we have and everything that we need. Amen. Praise God. And I am a firm believer. Watch this now. I'm a firm believer. I am a firm believer that the Bible teaches you and I the principles of reaping and sowing and tithing and being generous and supporting the church and helping those in need. I believe all these things are still as true for you and I today, and that's the realm that we must operate in. I can actually testify that when we apply these principles to our lives, that God blesses us so much that not only are our needs met, but we can still help support the church and those in need. Therefore, I'll say it one more time. For me, You can make up your own theology of biblical principles for us here. It is completely appropriate to ask the Lord to bless for offerings, to bless for tithes, and also our incomes so that we may continue to do those things which He is calling us to do for the glory of God. And praying this way in our life shows both our trust in Jesus as our source of everything good, but it also glorifies God when we choose to invest in the kingdom, to share the gospel, and then bless those in need. And I believe that is a blessed covenant relationship whereby we follow God's word and then the Lord keeps His promises to meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory. However, and I'm not one for talking about other ministries, but I'm going to. If someone were to pray, as some prosperity preachers these days are essentially teaching and praying, and I checked this out actually on the Christian channel over a few weeks, and I heard this prayer. Lord, make me rich because You love me. And give me, Lord, what I ask. Because right now, Lord, I really want the best for my life. And right now, Lord, I would love to be wealthy in the kingdom. I'm going to tell you something about that. According to the Bible I'm reading. Prayers, preaching, teaching like that is completely inappropriate according to the scriptures. Totally inappropriate. And that cannot ever be blessed because the Bible teaches us that while there is absolutely nothing wrong with being wealthy, so hear me now, as there are many good godly people who are in high incomes, however, we are not to be lovers of money or serve money. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and you'll love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved by money. The Apostle Paul also writes of the love of money in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. God help us. My point here is simple, and it's simply that an important step in having faith, and I am sure we've all did this already over the first part of this year, an important step to having faith is to take a spiritual inventory and make sure that what we hope for aligns with the Word of God. And when we do that, listen to me now, we can then have confidence that even if we don't see the victory in our situation, it is going to happen just as Jesus told us in John 14, verses 12 through 14. And then, church today, we're nearly there now. Once you have confirmed what you're hoping for actually lines up with God's word and God's will, there is no reason whatsoever to doubt or put limits on what God can do for us, through us, and in us. Jesus makes this point really clear in verse 20. Look at verse 20. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. At times in our weakness, we put limits on what the Lord can do in and through us. But Jesus is telling the disciples that if they have faith the size of a mustard seed, that mountains will move and nothing on earth shall be impossible for them. Hallelujah. This is what we're after. You see, when Jesus tells the disciples that they only need faith like the size of a grain of a mustard seed to move mountains, most of us think about the size of that little bit of grain. We think about that. And while that is true and part of the illustration, because a grain of mustard seed is a toty thing, it's an incredibly small thing. Another thing for you and I that must be realized is the potential contained in each individual little seed or part of grain. The potential. You will know this, but I'll tell you anyway. You see, a mustard tree, not a seed now, reaches an average mature height of between 6 and 20 feet with a 20-foot spread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so one of the points that Jesus is making for you and I, let's get real now, is that since God put great potential in a seed and a plant, how much more potential does he put in that person who is created in his image? That's you. That's me. Because Jesus wants more for our life than salvation. That's great. That's wonderful. Jesus wants us to lead people to him so they too can be saved and have heaven as their home. Jesus wants us to live spirit-filled lives, loving and serving others daily, growing together as a church family of Christ, deeper and more intimate relationship with him. He doesn't want us day to day focusing on the world's problems. Don't get caught up in that, please. Be aware, but don't get caught up in it, because God's greater than it all. All of it. We get caught up in our hearts and it's okay, but he wants us to keep a focus on him every day. And yes, it is right to cast our cares on him. And yes, Jesus is closer than a friend. And yes, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, we know these things. But in any relationship, if the focus becomes more of the problems than it does about the love, there is less room for joy or deeper intimacy to grow. Would you stand with me this morning? Just close your eyes for a minute or two. I'm just going to close this down here. I want you to hear these last remaining words I have for today. In everything that we do, all glory goes to God. And he is the one with the power to do the miraculous. But in many cases, as in these days, he chooses people like you and I to work through. And again, one of the primary gifts of the Holy Spirit is to equip us along with the Word of God to do the things Jesus did in this world until he returns. So while, yes, there are times we are hurting, and yes, there are times, of course, we get discouraged, never forget that inside every child of God, there's the Holy Spirit of God. And if we have faith to believe for the impossible, then are we going to begin to believe that we can achieve the impossible in him? We are God's image bearers in the world. We have been given authority over everything in this world, both natural and supernatural, not by our power that we would boast, but because God loves us and God blesses us. And when we now put our faith in Jesus Christ, and when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Word of God, having a loving Father in heaven that will never fail us, there's absolutely no reason to doubt that any mountain can't be moved or anything is impossible for us. And church, if we can truly grasp the limitless power and potential that even a small amount of faith in Jesus Christ brings, then as Jesus himself declared, nothing will be impossible for us. And as we worship for these next few moments, maybe there's something of you that has to decrease so that faith in God can increase in you. And maybe for some, there's been too much of me and not enough about him. And I wonder today, in this room right now, are you going to ask God to give you mustard seed faith that has the potential to become something wonderful? Are you going to let faith, real, godly, spirit-filled faith, blossom in your life? In so much over these next days and weeks and months, just as that seed, when it is watered appropriately and properly with prayer, with thanksgiving, with joy, begins to develop, are you going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to saturate your life so that true faith, genuine faith, become part of your lifestyle and part of your journey? So when you speak to the mountain will move from here to there. When you declare the word of God over a person's life, when you intercede and seek in behalf of someone, you don't do it doubting. You do it with the confidence that's Christ in you. So dear church, I am trusting the Holy Spirit will inspire you through this. Because we cannot be a fearful, worried, doubting, faithless church. We want to be a God-fearing, God-loving, God-inspired, spirit-filled, joy-filled people who believe with God all things are possible, really. So when we worship God with this song, you open your heart to God. Ask God to fill you with a renewed sense of faith in Christ. And if you've been wavering in your walk, and many do, he sees you where you are. He loves you where you are. And by his Spirit, he draws you and woos you to himself. So I will tell you a truth. Truly, truly, every single person in this room who has committed to Jesus Christ has potential, and has potential to make things different, to usher in the kingdom of God in this generation, and to see transformation and changes. Let us not be sheepish and shy away from our God-given responsibilities due to a lack of faith. But let us sound the trumpet charge as a faith-filled generation, believing our God is the King of glory and nothing is too hard for him. So be blessed, and Holy Spirit, seal this word in. Seal it in, Father. We know there's not much new in what's been said, Lord, but by the Spirit, inspire us to rise up and be all we can be for God. In Jesus' name, Peter.